It's a holiday season.
Floop de flop.
Let's goopity dop.
What do you say we start out with cold glasses, but delicious seasonal favorite, eggnog. Oh, Christmas tree. Oh, Christmas tree.
It's that time of year.
Oh, Christmas tree. Oh, Christmas tree.
At long last.
Oh, Christmas tree. 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 Oh, Christmas tree.
Oh, man. That gets me in the mood like nothing else.
Yep.
Forget It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, excuse me.
Yes?
I'm trying to find a German doll.
Me too, me too.
Do you have any more in the back?
Chris Parnell.
What?
For the win.
What did they say? These guys what are looking for a German
A German doll, yes.
They're looking for Turbo Man.
Hey, everybody. These two are looking for a Turbo Man.
Shut up, man.
Now, what's so funny?
What's so funny?
Where have you guys been? Turbo Man's only the hottest selling Christmas toy ever.
Oh, these cookies. I got to get the recipe from Les.
Who told you can eat my cookies?
Put that cookie down now.
What?
Bert, you know me?
Oh.
I'm having such a wonderful holiday party.
Oh, are you kids ready for Santa
Claus? La 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 la. Chris Phil again. Oh.
I really have been good. Please believe me, son of me.
Come on, Peyton Bird! Come on, Peyton! To the pedals! What do you know about this? Merry Christmas!
Oh.
Santa Claus. Yeah, there it is. You know, I had to work in
Kevin. So much Kevin this month.
Some DJ fingers. Wow. If you're not in the mood after that, you're some kind of Grinch. This is episode one of our seasonal favorite series here at C2R, and we're so glad to have you.
Hello.
It's good to be with you.
The holidays are here. They are in full swing, and it's time to get in the holiday spirit if you are.
My favorite.
Yes, I agree. This episode is, of course, dedicated to Sinbad, who is recovering from a stroke.
Hey, Angie and Jeff, what's up?
So it's...
What's up?
Great to be with you. This is episode 29 of C2R.
29, folks! What's up?
29? 29?
I was so excited when I turned 29 to play that clip over and over on my birthday.
Yeah.
Like I waited a couple years for it.
That was a lot of fun.
And now it's a distant memory.
Yes.
Being 29. So.
Same here.
It's fun to bring it back.
Same Z's.
For other things that are 29.
Yeah.
29?
29? 29?
So this is Christmas, COVID edition, and I'm feeling somehow in the spirit. We've watched quite a few holiday movies already.
Right, and what is it? December 6th. Yes.
Yes.
We've got the whole month ahead of us.
We're just knocking them back one by one. And what have we watched so far?
Well, we started with The Santa Claus.
Yes.
Which is a joint favorite of ours that we do watch every year.
Die Hard, we've watched.
Yeah, Die Hard.
We watched Home Alone last night.
Home Alone.
And the Christmas episodes from 30 Rock.
Yeah.
The Ludachristmas episode is quite good.
Shooby dooby.
Yeah. Elaine Stritch, who plays Jack Donaghy's mom, has one of my favorite lines in a show ever. They're at some shitball family restaurant with
Like TGI Fridays.
A TGI Fridays type place. And the menu has pictures of food. And she says,
it's so hard to choose.
The photos of the food look so good.
I am going to have the fried onion tower for two for one.
Yes. Inferior restaurants tend to take flash photography of their food. And right. That's a funny observation.
And the shittier the restaurant, the bigger the menu.
Yes. As comically played up in Schitt's Creek.
Yep.
Where the menus at the diner are the size of the table. And it's fun.
It's fun.
Any notes from our Fifth Element episode?
Listener T-Bone made the point over, I believe, GroupMe, that this movie was the birthplace of the sticky grenade from Halo.
I don't know what any of that means.
That's okay. We keep losing female listeners, so the predominantly male audience will know
what I'm talking Sorry, about. Ladies. I'm trying, but...
I know we're trying.
All these 30-something men keep throwing weird references in my face, and I don't know what you're talking about.
No, I don't want to play video games.
Anyway, that's the only note we had from the previous episode. We hope you enjoyed our take on The Fifth Element. I'm trying to track down a French film expert to interview.
Yeah.
To be our first interview for the program.
We've got some calls out.
We got some calls out. So,
pas up quand François font-ils?
It's the kind of thing that will eventually be a Patreon exclusive or something, but we'll give you the first one for free.
That's nice work, JJ.
I always get excited when we have voicemails, even if they're from the same two people each time. I still get excited. I mean, it's early in our history as your favorite underground Chicago-based movie podcast, but it's a thrill whenever we can have a voicemail. So we have some for you today. Let's take a listen.
Hey, Jeff. Hey, Angie.
Hi.
Hi.
Hope it's going good. C2R Superfan Will here.
Surprise.
Listening to the last episode, and you did take a couple shots at me here and there, so that was a little rude.
Hang on. I don't remember taking shots. I remember a big shot comedian punching down at us. And
that's how I seem to remember it, too.
Yeah.
So I think he needs to grow some thicker skin.
Yeah.
I did get cut off. There is a 2-minute time limit on messages, unfortunately. But that's okay.
Fortunately.
Really, the most important thing, though, there's two things I wanted to mention. One is that you mentioned that a seamster is the male term for a seamstress, which is correct.
It is?
But I believe in this day and age, we should probably use the gender-neutral tailor would be more appropriate.
That's fair.
So instead of, calling someone a seamster when really they've transitioned into a seamstress.
Okay, noted.
I'm
fine.
Thinking, just go with tailor. It's 2020 after all. Second, I watched Psycho. I had actually never seen Psycho before. I watched it on your advice. And I just had never. I knew the story. I knew that the dude was being his mom too. But I had never seen it. Quite good movie. I did also notice he's holding the candy. You mentioned the candy, mm-hmm. and he said it was a generic bag of candy. But if you actually look, it says candy corn.
Ooh, look who knows so much, huh?
Ooh,
is that right?
Gross.
Which I think. That's got to be Amy Hitchcock at the time knew that anybody who eats just a generic bag of candy corn, that's a telltale sign of a psychopath right there. So,
yeah.
Just a very good little detail from the master of suspense himself.
We can agree on that.
Alfred Hitchcock. So cool. That's all for this week. Not too many egregious errors. so I'll probably keep listening for a little longer. Keep at it, guys.
Candy corn. Ooh, gross.
Oh, not too many slams on that voicemail.
That does make sense because remember how I thought it was like a nut of some sort? So mm-hmm. it's like something harder but chewy.
I thought it was a dark, hard candy. I couldn't tell.
Yeah, but like
whorehound,
it wasn't as hard as like a hard candy.
All right.
Candy corn kind of makes sense.
Yes. I mean, he's a big shot comedian. He's probably got a higher def TV than us, so. Mm. That's probably why I can see that.
Hi there.
Hi.
Sorry, don't know why I said that like that. It's Spicy P calling. I just finished the Fifth Element episode, and I just want to let you know it did not disappoint. Enjoyed the whole thing. I appreciate your insight.
Wow.
As you guys were talking, I was reminded of all of the same feelings that I had when I first saw the movie. And the reason I'm calling is it kind of struck me as to what type of movie it really is. And it was when Angie was talking about how she needed to see it like 5 more times. Like just that feeling of you finish it and you're like, I kind of have to watch that again to fully understand or to kind of pick up what is this movie? What is it trying to do? And I remember seeing it, I think I was like 8th grade and my sister had already seen it like 4 times and she just loved it. So I was watching it with her and she was laughing at all these parts. She was like talking me through some stuff. Jeff made the point about, how did, you know, the Fifth Element when they created her body in that incubator, like how did they do that? Where did that come from? And I think that little glove was actually the only part of the statue from the beginning. So there was like the Fifth Element statue that they were carrying, I think it was. But I think that was like, so that was technically like part of the Fifth Element's like DNA was in that hand, I think.
Cool.
But anyway, the comparison I was going to make was,
I
remember when I first watched
Surprised
This Is Spinal Tap
that.
And Best in Show, I was like 12, and I had no concept of what the movies were.
What are you suggesting, my dear man?
I was like, I did not understand what was happening, but I had older cousins that I was watching it with, and they were all like dying laughing the whole time, and my little brain was like, what are they laughing at? And then I remember watching it like
fair.
3 more times and being like, oh, okay.
If you don't stop naming nuts.
Now I get it. I get what this is now. And the Fifth Element to me is like one of those movies. It's like, to watch it for the first time, you can't even have a conversation really about it. You can't even understand it. And I just realized, this is a really long phone message, so I'm going to just stop myself and let you guys go and wish you all a very Merry Christmas, okay? Take care.
Okay.
Merry Christmas, movie ho!
But he must have had an itch because he called back in.
Also, this is Spicy Pete calling back. I want to know definitively from both of you, Chris Tucker, was he awesome or was he not? I liked your assessment, but I want a more clear answer how you guys feel.
I thought we were.
And maybe I guess the third answer is maybe he was just on a different level that can't really be defined. But I find him to be really good and funny. But I want to know definitively what you guys think. All right, thanks. Bye.
Wow.
Love you.
Oh, I talked over as I love you.
Peter, you always play psychologist with us.
I would say that we were a little, we didn't come out and say,
did we not?
This is really great. We were talking about it was crazy, but we were engaged. You did say Chris Tucker was born to play this role. But still, I think it is a great performance.
Yeah, I guess I should come out and say it. I thought it was awesome. I think in a way he out-princed Prince. I wouldn't have wanted to see Prince in this role because I don't want to see Prince act silly. I like when he's demure.
I don't think it means what you think it means.
And above
mysterious.
It. Yeah, mysterious and looking down on the rest of humanity.
Yeah.
I don't want, like, if I saw Prince acting that silly, I would feel unsafe. Like when you're young and, you know, maybe mom or dad has a couple of drinks and they get a little silly and you feel unsafe.
I hate when you're in a good mood. It makes me feel unsafe. Like when my mom used to make daiquiris and sing Tanya Tucker songs.
I loved it. I thought it was great.
Yeah. It was my favorite part out of the whole movie. So it's kind of amazing to me that I saw this movie one time and then had to talk about it.
That's pretty difficult to do.
To his point of like... you do how, you know, we were talking how you need to see it lots more times and you don't quite know what you're watching. You don't know, wait, is this a comedy moment or is this some type of really serious moment that I'm just uncomfortable with and laughing at? But wow.
Well, today's movie has none of that. Right. It is not anything that leaves viewers befuddled, aside from the maybe some of the acting choices. But
you know exactly what's happening and why.
Yes, thank
you. And it's a nice break from sci-fi fantasy fun times.
You don't have to do any work.
No.
Any intellectual work watching this movie. That's what I'll say.
But for our first episode of this Christmas series is Jingle All the Way. It's from 1996, starring Arnold Schwarzenegger, Rita Wilson, Phil Hartman, and Sinbad. It's a triple threat.
It's a who's who of C2R Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
Every holiday season, there's one toy everyone has to have.
I want the Turbo Man action figure with the arms and legs that move.
Wait a minute.
The Rocket jetpack and the boomerang shooter.
Getting it is every child's dream.
Whoever doesn't can be a real loser.
Finding it.
You got the doll, right?
Is this father's nightmare.
I'll get and father of the bride music.
I promise.
How could they do that?
I don't understand.
Nothing like waiting till the last minute, howitzer.
Especially on Christmas Eve.
Turbo Man, you're mine!
They're all gone.
These two are looking for a Turbo Man.
Yes, your Christmas spirit.
The last one just left.
No. It's two fathers.
This is one.
One mission.
Poor baby.
And every man for himself.
I think maybe, you know, we could join up as a team. You know, like Starsky and Hutch.
It's a late delivery of Turbo Man.
That toy works. Let's go.
Is there a problem, officer?
You can never do too much to make a child's Christmas magical. Hey, buddy.
From the director of Mrs. Doubtfire.
You want a Turbo Man for Christmas?
Forget it. I'm not going to sit in your lap.
Tony, Sean.
That was taken this morning.
And from the director of the Flintstones.
Don't open that up. No, no, no.
Of course, there's
something you want to announce.
Why are you guys nothing but a bunch of sleazy con men in red suits?
Arnold Schwarzenegger. Sinbad.
I work for the post office and I'm unstable. Tell him.
This man is totally insane.
Thank you.
Christmas comes, but once a year.
No! Jingle All the Way.
Sounds like it hurts.
Long day.
Me and my two clones join forces because it turns out I'm really an angel. Then the CIA, they make a clone, but this one's a bad clone because he's in cahoots with the devil. So then me and my clones go to fight the devil clone, but then it turns out that he's the real me and I'm the clone.
Workaholic Howard Langston, played by Arnold, wants to make things up to his son Jamie and wife Liz. He promises to get Jamie the hottest toy of the season, Turbo Man, even though it's Christmas Eve and the toy is practically sold out. As Langston hunts down the elusive gift, he runs into mailman Myron, another father on the same quest. With the clock winding down, Langston's moral code is tested as he starts to learn the real meaning of Christmas. What do we have in the way of fun facts here?
Well, it's a 15% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Ouch.
Which, if you haven't seen this movie, sorry, it's not very good.
Mm-mm. It turns out it fucking sucks!
But I think it will get you in the holiday spirit.
I was doing the math because we did a bonus episode on House Guest, which stars Sinbad and Phil Hartman. That movie has a 14% on Rotten Tomatoes. It is also, you know, empirically not good. So what I take away from this, crunching the numbers real quick here, carry the one, adding Arnold to a movie that already stars Sinbad and Phil Hartman is only good for 1 percentage point on Rotten Tomatoes. That is shocking.
Wow.
At C2R, we give you the finest movie metrics you could wish for.
Right. This movie was Chris Parnell's first film. He was on Saturday Night Live before this. I don't remember what years, but you heard him in the beginning clip when Arnold goes to one of the toy stores and is asking for this toy and everyone's laughing in his face.
Yeah.
It's a fun moment.
He is Dr. Spaceman on 30 Rock, one of our favorite shows.
What can you do? Medicine's not a science.
Dr. Leo Spaceman, dubbed Dr. Spaceman by Tracy Jordan. And also, sadly, Phil Hartman's last movie.
Was it in 1996? Was it the same year? 1998. Okay, so this.
Yeah, he had gone on to do News Radio on NBC, which was a hit, a beloved show, and was shot by his wife that year. This was Arnold's last movie before he played Mr. Freeze in the now infamous Batman and Robin, the Joel Schumacher debacle.
All right, everyone, chill. Stop it!
Turbo Man dolls were actually sold for a short period of time, which is a little interesting. I can't imagine they did that well. It wasn't a very fun character. And you only got, you just got a smidgen of who this character was, but just like an Iron Man knockoff. So
I can't imagine anyone wanted to own that.
Yeah, I don't think it did very well. I did read that Sinbad recalled that the studio didn't sell Dementor action figures, and you know later in the movie, Sinbad gets into the Dementor costume. Even though that they tested high during research, he had a prototype of the doll, and they said, cool. "Give it back. We'll give you the real one when it comes out." And it never came out.
Why? What have I done?
Turbo Man dolls probably didn't do that well, so they were like, well, I don't think we should put out any more characters from this series because it's doo-doo feces.
Yeah. Bummer, man. I know. You look at it, they couldn't even make it look cool for the movie, the action figure. It's just a big...
It does not look good.
It's like twice the height of a Barbie, and it barely articulates. Like, it's one of those where the arms just go up and down.
There's very Ken doll.
Can't bend at the elbows or anything like a G.I. Joe. It looked really lame.
Yeah, it was not good. Do you have any memories of this movie? Do you remember the first time you saw it?
I don't. What I'm thinking is, I think I was too much of a snob in my youth to let myself enjoy this movie. No major memories come to mind. It's just always been there.
Yeah.
It just always seems to be on, which is true.
I think I watched it more ironically as I was a little bit older,
right?
Like in the 2000s with friends of mine. It never came up to the top of the list of Christmas movies, but if it was on TV, you'd catch it, or, after you went through all of your favorite Christmas movies, then you'd pop this one on for a little bit of a laugh. So, no major memories stick out, but it just felt like such an obvious choice for us after all of our excitement with Arnold, Phil Hartman, and Sinbad.
Yeah.
Over the last few episodes, it was the perfect Christmas movie, I think, to kick us off.
It's a stacked roster. Like, as far as C2R Hall of Famers, this movie, the cast is like, it's a triple threat. It's a super team. To use NBA terms,
okay,
it is a super team.
And one other thing. So I know we've watched this together a little bit throughout the years. It's not one that we watch every single year. So it will be fun to sit down and watch this with our undivided attention.
Yes.
And see, is this a hidden gem, even though it's rated poorly?
Yeah.
Is it something that needs to be bumped up on the list, or is it just going to be around and that's fine? It is what it is.
Yeah. It won't be on in the background at a relative's house where there's too much glare coming in the window and you can't even see the movie and everyone's kind of having a drink and talking over each other and eating dip. We'll actually be watching it. So without further ado, why don't we watch this thing? What do you say?
Let's go.
Let's go watch Jingle All the Way.
Jingle!
Come on.
Liz, you should have seen us in there. I mean, we were really bonding. We were drawing, we were laughing, having a great time, talking about the Turbo guy.
Turbo Man. Which reminds me, you got the doll, right?
The doll?
Yeah. The Turbo Man doll. I asked you to pick one up 2 weeks ago.
Uh-oh.
Oh. That doll. Of course.
How close? You didn't. Please tell me that you did not forget that doll.
No, no, I got it. I got the Turbo Man doll, the one that has those things that shoot out in front with that Rock'em Sock'em jetpack and with that
realistic
voice box that says, it's turbo time. I got it.
Oh, good.
There you are. I mean, you thought for a minute that I would not do something that you tell me. I got it right away.
Ah. Good. Because at this point, they'd probably be impossible to find.
Oh, no.
See, I have to shop late because it's the busiest time of year for me. All these important Christmas letters that people send to folks they don't even talk to but once a year. Not to mention relatives sending presents they're going to have to send back anyway. How many toiletry kits does a man need? How about these little stupid letters from kids to Santa at the North Pole?
Dear Santa, could you send me a bike and a slinky?
No, your father's been laid off. And as if I didn't have enough pressure in my life, my son sends me out for some, like, goofy butt toy. Some fruity goofy robot
butt.
Named Turtle Man.
Goofy butt?
Goofy butt toy.
Man. My son wants one, too.
Yeah.
You know it's all a ploy, don't you?
A ploy.
Man, where have you been? Don't you watch TV? We are being set up by rich and powerful toy cartels.
Oh, come
now
on.
Now you got these big fat cats sit there using working class just like me and you. They spend billions of dollars on TV advertisement, and then they sit there and use subliminal messages to suck your children's minds out. And I know what I'm talking about because I went to junior college for a semester and I studied psychology, so I'm right in there. I know what's going on.
Same intensity
yeah.
that we've come to love from Sinbad. Wow, there it was. We watched Jingle All the Way.
We did it. We paid attention for an hour and 27 minutes.
We took notes. We read articles to prepare for this thing. And it's the same movie I remember. Boy, Arnold, it's hard to watch Arnold act like a Minnesota father who works at a mattress company. I don't want that from Arnold.
No. Just like a regular guy making a living for his family in the suburbs.
And watching him do karate just off the dome, watching him do karate is troubling to me.
Ooh, yeah! Ooh, yeah! Ooh, yeah!
Again, it's that unsafe feeling I mentioned before with Prince. Like, you're supposed to be defending
humankind.
You're supposed to be defending us from aliens.
Yeah.
And throwing pipes through, you know, bad guys, commando style.
I like you. That's why I'm going to kill you last.
But he's, you know, he's just doing his job and selling mattresses. Everyone
You're
needs
my number one customer.
just selling mattresses.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
That's fine. Well, I noticed that this movie, because we just watched The Santa Claus, both of these movies start out the exact same.
Mm-hmm.
The dad is at his job
yep.
around the holidays and like letting his kid down.
Mm-hmm.
In the Santa Claus, though, there's a key difference.
Yeah.
He calls his ex-wife, actually, and blames the traffic for him being late. There's no traffic. But Howard actually is in traffic. That's
yes.
the only difference, but it
right.
starts out the exact same. It's really funny.
And Howard is working very hard to wrap up, and
that's true.
And Scott Calvin is at a Christmas party.
Yeah.
Probably why Johnson's secretary is sitting in his lap.
Like, Howard is at his store. There's a Christmas party going on, but he's still working.
Yeah.
So I guess it is a little bit different. He's trying.
But the same construction.
Yeah.
At work, at a work Christmas thing, stuck in traffic, either fictional or real.
Right.
Which highway does Tim Allen call out? Which Michigan highway does he call out in Santa Claus?
694.
94.
When he's on in the sleigh.
Yeah, same to you. And that's not very ladylike.
So right away, we meet Ted, who is Howard's neighbor. Ted is played by Phil Hartman.
Yes.
But you noticed something about Ted that I thought was funny.
I did. I thought, so Ted is very friendly. He has this very pleasant veneer, and he's helping out all the single ladies. Well, not all the single ladies, all the women in the neighborhood with tasks, you know, odd jobs. He bakes. He does all these things.
Sure. I've got just the tool for the job.
Yeah, which is creepy.
He's a little pervy.
He's really pervy. I wondered if Ted's character is meant to represent the dark underbelly of the phenomenon of Minnesota nice.
Tell me more about what Minnesota nice is.
It's the stereotypical way that people born and raised in Minnesota are meant to act. It's a courteous, reserved, and mild-mannered mode.
Mm-hmm.
Polite friendliness, an aversion to conflict and confrontation, a tendency toward understatement and other components of it. I think I'm overthinking it, but I thought maybe Ted was supposed to represent this dark undercurrent of Minnesota nice, like how disgusting a person could be behind the facade.
Oh, that could be.
Could be.
That could be.
Yeah, you see him, he's just so overly nice and everybody loves him.
Yes.
But Howard's wife, who he's the most infatuated with, he doesn't really care about all these other women around him that are kind of throwing themselves at him.
That's true.
But he has something for Liz, and she doesn't buy it at all. But you can kind of see throughout the entire movie, his mask starts to peel away, and he's a big old creep, basically.
Yeah.
But it's very funny at the beginning because Howard and Ted just butt heads immediately. It's clear that Howard does not like Ted.
Ted? What the hell are you doing on my roof?
What's Ted doing on your roof?
Ta-da!
I had some extra lights in the garage, and since you didn't put up any yourself, I thought, what the heck? Why not spread a little Christmas cheer around the neighborhood?
Oh, gee, Ted. How thoughtful.
Hey, sorry you missed the karate class today. But don't worry, I got it all on video for you.
What would I do without you?
But you can tell he's pretending that he's being really nice, but he's really just like digging at. He's
trying to get in there.
Yeah, he's trying to get in with Liz and highlight the things that Howard isn't doing.
You actually uncovered the real motivation behind Ted's character.
Oh yeah, this was a fun fact I found. So Phil Hartman supposedly made up a backstory for his character. He said that Ted is a guy who sued his employer for headaches caused by toner fumes and now hangs around the neighborhood and helps all the housewives. He also offered a take on how he was kind of being pigeonholed in Hollywood when he added, Ted's another weasel to add to my list of weasels. I mean, when you think about his character and house guests, I mean, there's some definite similarities of just a dad being a dad in the 90s.
Was he a weasel in that? I know he had to clear the decks at the office, but I don't remember him being weaselly.
He wasn't weaselly, but
he was easily taken advantage of, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Is that a burger you have behind your back?
I haven't seen Phil Hartman in too many movies, so I'd like to explore his filmography a little more now that he's a C2R Hall of Famer.
But it's funny, it sounds like he took his job seriously and wanted to do a good job with this character.
And now that I know that, now that you shared that, I retroactively enjoyed this movie more.
Whoa! Nothing like waiting until the last minute, Howard, sir. So where'd you get him?
One of those Turbo Mans.
Oh, that's great. I got a Turbo Man for Johnny months ago. It's nestled safely under our tree.
Oh my God. His voice was truly an instrument. His command of his own voice is respectable. And this, of course, you'll recognize from the theme music.
Mm. Oh, these cookies. I got to get the recipe from Les.
So good.
And so he's just digging his way into Howard's world throughout the whole movie, and it's making him angry.
What's going on here?
Look.
Jamie's dad is Turbo Man.
Let's get out of here.
Dad, you smell like barf.
I just wanted to hear, Dad, you smell like barf.
Enough talking. Well, that didn't exactly go as well as I'd hoped.
That's Ted getting punched in the face. Because again, Liz was not having it. She was not a dummy. She knew what Ted was. So when he tried to make a move,
yeah,
she punched him. Well, she hit him with a thermos.
I'm just going to load this at the end of every episode.
Well, that didn't exactly go as well as I'd hoped.
That's funny.
Okay, so Howard then meets Myron, who is played by Sinbad. And Myron's another dad frantically looking for a Turbo Man doll on Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't really know, like, throughout the movie if they're friends or enemies, because they kind of, they team up. No, first they're against each other because they're both looking for this doll, so they're trying to get it before the other. But then they try to team up every once in a while to like go in together to try to find where mm-hmm. these Turbo Man dolls are.
Yeah.
But then they quickly like turn on each other, and it just goes back and forth the entire movie. So Myron just kind of keeps popping up everywhere Howard is.
Yeah, and really the most three-dimensional character in the movie, as crazy as he is, like he's facing real issues in his life. It's not like Howard, who just is working really hard and trying to buy his son a toy. Like, Myron has real problems.
Yeah.
The movie should have been about Myron.
Just a sick world we're living in. Sick people. Ta-ta, Turtle Man.
Apparently, this movie was based off of the Cabbage Patch doll craze in the 80s, where it was very intense with trying to find dolls. I was trying to think if there was a toy for me growing up that led to this type of madness.
Yeah.
And the only thing I can think of, and I actually never got one because I didn't want one, but they were very popular, but Furbies, do you remember those?
Oh, yes.
I think that might have been maybe the Cabbage Patch doll of my generation, but I didn't want one. I don't think I ever got one. It wasn't my...
They were kind of creepy, right?
Yeah.
Like they kind of, like, wouldn't they come alive
even
if they were off?
Right, if they were turned off or the batteries were dead, like, they would still, like, blink and stuff.
Stop it!
So that's the only toy I could think of. What about you?
I think I've told this on the podcast. My mom crossed international borders into Canada to pick up a Game Genie. It's that thing that helps you cheat at Nintendo.
Game over? No way! Because we got Game Genie! We tell you when it's over.
With Game Genie, I decide how many lives I get.
I use it when I want to live forever.
Play to the end and win!
Wow.
She had to go, I assume, over to Windsor across the bridge from Detroit. To grab this tool that helps you cheat at Nintendo.
Wow.
Yeah.
She went a long way.
She wanted
Little Prince Jeffrey could beat the game.
Little Prince Jeffrey's eyes would light up.
Yep.
That's another hard realization I've had as an adult. As obsessed as I was over video games, I was never good at them.
Oh.
I beat like a handful of games.
Power up!
In my tenure. Huh. As a Nintendo addict. But anyway, thanks, Mom, for going over the border for that Game Genie.
Spare no expense.
Okay, so then Howard meets not a C2R Hall of Famer, but a really fun cameo is Jim Belushi plays a con man Santa.
Yeah.
Jingle bells, Batman smells.
I actually thought he might have been the highlight of the movie. But that might be because we just watched Thief with James Caan, directed by Michael Mann.
Maybe.
Where Jim Belushi has like a legit dramatic role, and I keep forgetting that he's in that. But when they go to the warehouse with all the counterfeit Santas, all the crooked Santas.
All the crooked Santas and the counterfeit toys.
Yeah, that was my favorite part of the movie. Like, I kind of wanted to live in that world. The tone sort of changes.
It kind of reminds me of, I haven't seen this movie in a very, very long time, but Bad Santa, where it's kind of it's Christmas, but it's
very lewd.
Not nice Christmas.
No. And we sort of edge toward that territory during the warehouse scene.
Yeah.
And he gets the counterfeit Spanish Turbo Man.
After he dishes out, what, $300 or $500, I think? A lot of money for this stupid piece of shit plastic.
Mm-hmm. But I hope my mom didn't pay that kind of money for the Game Genie, but...
It's a piece of crap. It doesn't work.
I'll ask.
All sales are final. You know what, you guys, nothing but a bunch of sleazy con men in red suits.
Yeah, you tell him.
What did you call us?
You hear me, right? Con men, thieves, degenerates, lowlifes, thugs, criminals!
Hey, the North Pole, them are fighting words, partner. Put them up!
Oh, relax, buddy. I'm not about to hit a Santa Claus. Come on, come on, what are you, chicken? Chick, 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 chick,
chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick,
chick, chick, chick,
chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick,
It's unsettling.
Yes.
Cool. So I've always had an issue with movies that are supposed to take place in a really tight period of time, one day, 12 hours, whatever. So I want to know if you feel this same way.
Okay. But
we know that Howard starts out Christmas Eve at 9 a.m. because he gets to the first toy store and they're about to open at 9 a.m. So that's when this whole thing starts. He has to find that toy. And then at the end of the day is the Christmas Eve parade that him and his family go to, that he shows up at. It's all in one day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so 9 a.m. We start out first toy store. Then he goes to, there's a montage of him going to, what, three or four other toy stores. He eventually gets over to the Mall of America on Christmas Eve. Like, the amount of time it probably takes to get to the Mall of America, park, probably get on a shuttle or something.
A nightmare.
Get into the mall. Like, that is a huge chunk of time.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, you're right. Multiple toy stores all over Minneapolis and St. Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Mall of America. Then he meets the con man Santa. They drive away from the mall to some warehouse where he's there for a little while and fighting all the Santas. Then he ends up at a diner where he sees Myron again.
Mm-hmm.
They go to a radio station because there's a chance to win a Turbo Man doll.
Oh, I cannot leave this for miles. Dasha, Dancer, Bronzer, Vixen, Comet, Cupid, Donna, Blitzen. Dasha, Dancer, Bronzer, Vixen, Comet, Cupid, Donna, Blitzen. Dasha, Dancer, Bronzer, Vixen, Comet, Cupid, Donna, Blitzen. I'm having a good time. Bye.
Wow, I really like Arnold in that scene.
Yeah. So funny. He's running to a radio station to name the eight reindeer for a chance to win a doll.
The DJ, of course, played by Martin Mull, who is always a joy whenever he shows up.
So then at some point, his car gets vandalized. I think it's when he's at the radio station for that piece. His car gets vandalized by, I think it's the con man Santas.
Right.
Then he has to call a tow truck. Wait for it. It takes him back home. So he goes back home after all of this. He goes home and then he goes back out by cab to get to the parade later on.
Yeah.
And then we end at the parade. So again, we're in the Midwest. It's Minneapolis. It's December, the shortest days of the year.
Right.
Here. So
great point.
It's pitch black here in Chicago by like 4:45. So the sun is setting. It's starting to set like 2:33, like it makes the turn where like the end of the day is coming.
Seasonal depression.
Yeah. So they're at this parade and the sun is like a high noon sun to me. Like it's bright and sunny. There aren't those like dusk shadows starting,
mm-hmm.
which leads me to believe that this movie takes place. All of these things happen within like 4 hours.
Wow.
I don't think it's believable.
No, it's not.
Okay.
Certainly not. I agree with you. I hadn't thought of it. If you told me this plays out over 3 days, I would have been like, yeah, fine. It's true. There's no concept of a completed day.
Yeah.
It's not depicted that way. Great. That's a great, great grab. Because I just never thought about it.
Yeah, it's, I don't know.
But you're really picking it apart.
I guess.
Yes, your Christmas spirit.
Yeah,
that's what Arnold says to you.
I am. But speaking of Minneapolis.
Yes, that's the one thing that's changed watching this now.
Yeah.
I've been to Minneapolis many times with you.
Yes.
I've had a love affair with that city. It's one of my favorite places on earth. And it's really fun to see it prominently featured.
Yeah, very prominently. So we are, again, the Mall of America is featured a lot. There's some shots of him running around downtown, which feel familiar. I don't know exactly the streets and stuff, but just being there a couple times, I'm pretty sure those scenes were shot in Minneapolis, not like on a fake set that looks like Minneapolis, I think. Mickey's Diner is apparently a famous spot in Minneapolis, and that's the diner that him and Myron end up at during the day. And, oh, there's this one time when Myron and Howard, I think it's when they're leaving that radio station, and they're either running down one of those elevated tunnels that connects buildings in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
And it feels very, I know there's a lot of them throughout the city, but that the particular one they're on feels like the same one.
Feels like we've seen it.
It feels like the same one in Mighty Ducks 2 when they're rollerblading throughout the city. I don't know. It could. Maybe it's just a good spot for filming, so they pick that one if they're in Minneapolis and they use it over and over. Or maybe it's just a whole other area, but it felt very familiar.
And I know they have to have those interconnected buildings with the walkways because it can get, you know, below 40.
Yeah.
40 below zero, and it's a necessity. But I love the idea of this interconnected, all internal society. I think it's really cool.
Caller T-Bone can confirm, but I believe that one of the times when he lived in downtown Minneapolis, he could get to work without going outside.
That's.
I don't know if it was like the shortest route to work. He would have to confirm, but I think that was maybe true.
The sci-fi geek in me thinks that's really cool. Like this all internal society. We can't go outside because we've destroyed the environment. We live in this self-contained biodome, if you will. But I always thought it was really cool. It's just one of another thing I like about Minneapolis. What other things do I like about Minneapolis, you say?
Yeah. Tell us, Jeff.
It's the city that brought us Prince. I mean, right there, our Lord and Savior, Prince Rogers Nelson. Mystery Science Theater 3000, my favorite show. We went and visited the abandoned... This is some real nerd shit. We visited the abandoned office park where they recorded it, where they filmed Mystery Science Theater all these years. It was not on a soundstage in LA. It was in an office park in Eden Prairie, right outside of Minneapolis.
Just like your standard one-story brown office park.
Yeah.
This is absolutely fascinating.
Surly Brewing Company, obviously, and of course, Minneapolis gave us the Juicy Lucy.
Juicy Lucy.
Those are some of the things I love about Minneapolis.
Okay. So I want to turn us to the end of the movie, which I find very hilarious. So.
Are you the guy?
Huh?
Oh, thank God. Hey, we got him, people. Okay, listen up. We're running late here, so pay attention. You already read the instruction manual we sent you, so you know about all the important controls. Let me just go over a couple of the changes. There are three cutoff valves to the nitro fuel.
Here.
The normal reading on the pressure gauge should be anywhere below 50, not 70, like we told you earlier. The emergency cutoff switch is here.
But you don't understand.
The primary controls are going to be right here. And there's also a microphone inside the helmet that'll alter your voice to the proper tonality. And procedure-wise, same as we talked about over the phone.
Procedure?
Stick to that, there shouldn't be any problems. Questions?
Procedure.
All right, before you say anything, let me just take a moment and speak for everyone when I thank you for filling in for P on such short notice. It was a total freak accident what happened at rehearsal, and we're confident that we got all the kinks worked out of the system.
Oh,
and you should know, the doctor said Pete actually showed some brain activity this morning. Yeah, that's a really good sign.
Oh, boy.
So Howard realizes after all this mess with trying to find the toy, going even breaking into Ted's house to steal his son's toy. He has a really low moment. And finally, I think he just, you know, realizes, okay, I can't get this toy, but I'm at least going to show up for my kid and be at the parade with him.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's kind of a nice lesson. Like, just be with your kid.
Agreed.
So he takes a cab, goes to the parade, and ends up
filling in for the guy to be Turbo Man in the parade.
I forget how he actually gets into this like backstage area just by accident, but he ends up he's suiting up to be Turbo Man.
This is cool.
It's Turbo Power!
Yeah, he's flying.
And the flying special effects, I'm not sure if they're supposed to look funny or look believable, or I don't know if they're supposed to be played up for comic effect, because they look insane.
terrible.
I think special effects were further along at this point.
The Fifth
Element came out the following year.
I think they used up all their budget getting shots of Mall of America or something.
Yeah, that could be.
So he's flying around pretending to be Turbo Man in this parade.
Jamie!
My name.
My favorite part is when it's revealed that he is Turbo Man.
Right.
So his wife and kid, Jamie, are standing like a foot away from him.
Yeah.
And don't realize that this giant man with this voice and like a fourth of his face covered with the Turbo Man helmet is their loved one.
My dad has the most distinct voice in the world. Other Austrians think he sounds crazy with his accent, but I can't tell it's him. So here we go.
What's the matter, Jade?
It's just, I wish Dad could have been here, you know, see me fly and all, but he didn't come, and it's all my fault. He's mad at me. We had a fight on the phone, and I kind of yelled at him.
Jamie, your dad is not mad at you. He loves you more than anything in the whole wide world. You are his all-time favorite person.
How do you know all that?
Well, who would know better than me?
Dad? Howard?
Right here.
Dad. Dad, I couldn't tell it was you with all the flange and phasing on your voice.
Yippee!
Yeah, it was just like the tiniest effect on his voice.
It's not like Fifth Element effects.
It makes me laugh.
Wow.
Oh, it's
I'm
so
not
dumb.
A pervert.
Yeah, it's so dumb, but it brings me a lot of joy that
it does. all of his face is exposed. Yeah. There's just a visor over his eyes.
Yeah, like it's like he's just wearing visor. Like tinted sunglasses, yellow sunglasses. You can still see his face, and you know, his voice is exactly the same.
He talks like no one else on the planet Earth. Anyway. That's true though. I've heard that other people from Austria hear him talk and it's like, what is that accent? But what do I know? You know, we're not professional critics, so it's fun to go back and see what Chicago favorite Roger Ebert said about a lot of these movies, as we often do. He writes, he wrote originally in his review, "I liked a lot of this movie, which is genial and has a lot of energy, but I was sort of depressed by its relentlessly materialistic view of Christmas and by the choice to go with action and mild violence over dialogue and plot. Audiences will like it, I am sure, but I have to raise my hand in reluctant dissent and ask, please, sir, may we have some more goodwill among men, even Turbo Men."
Oh.
Get it? That's fun. It's true. I keep thinking, is this trying to be a commentary on consumerism? But it is not at all. It's just consumerism is at the heart of this movie. It fuels the plot of this film. Mm-hmm. That's all you can say about it. I mean, if you have a different idea, let us know, you know, cruel2rewind@gmail.com. But it really is a bleak, commercialized landscape in this movie where this hardworking Midwestern guy, his self-worth depends on finding this shitty, cheap plastic doll.
Yeah. Just because he procrastinated a little bit.
Yeah, he's putting foot on the table, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I think we nailed it.
Why?
That is our assessment of Jingle All the Way. I almost feel like I'm tethered to this movie. Like, it always will just be on.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have a choice.
Yeah.
So I hesitate to say if it's cool or cruel. But I just feel like we're going to see it again.
Yes.
So in that way, I suppose it's cool.
Yes. I suppose that it is cool to rewind.
It's inescapable.
Honey, I'm so happy. Oh, but baby.
I kind of like it.
This movie's bad, but it's funny.
Yes.
So... And I had to buy it for this, so we do own it now and we'll have to watch it.
Full stop. Yeah. We have to watch it.
Yeah.
It is required watching.
I'm not a pervert.
Yeah, that remains to be seen.
It gives us a lot of fun Phil, Sinbad, and Arnold moments that are just inescapable.
And now that I have the Phil Hartman backstory to his character, it's way more intriguing. That's kind of fun. I'm happy to have that subtext now. All right. What are your thoughts on this movie? Let us know. Shoot us an email at crueltorewind@gmail.com or leave us a message on the C2R help desk hotline. I think the name of that line changes every time I say it, but the number is 929-456-0304. Give us a call. It's lots of fun.
And you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at CruelToRewind. And all of this info is on our website, CruelToRewind.com. And that's T-O for two. Next episode of our C2R seasonal favorites is my pick. So we're doing the more traditional Cruel to Rewind setup here.
Mm-hmm.
I picked a movie that I've been watching since I was a young child. We're going back to some more Parent Trapping,
mm-hmm.
which you know I'm fond of, with All They Want for Christmas, starring Thora Birch and some other kid who plays her brother.
Oh.
I'll have his name ready when we record.
We'll get our interns on it. We'll pull that name off the internet.
Yeah.
But yes, I'm excited for this one. It's a favorite that I've been watching for a long time.
Well, I had a blast. I hope you're finding a way to be holly. And jolly and stay safe.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope you're taking your vitamins and eating your vegetables, like I say each time, because it's very important.
Eat your vegetables.
Thank you so much for listening. Prince Jeffrey and Queen Bees love you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for listening. Stay cruel out there.
And happy rewinding.
Jingle bells, jingle bells.
My favorite.
Wow. That didn't exactly go as well as I'd hoped.
I'm having a good time. Bye.